So.
So I saw this post online. I forget if it was on Facebook or I really like 9gag for those of you who care. But the post was entitled "20 Students Were Asked What Is the Laziest Thing You've Ever Done?" And I'll read my favorite five for you this morning, still morning. All right. So number one, I shot 10 Nerf darts at my light switch from my bed. I missed all of them and slept with the lights on. Number two, I downloaded a movie instead of going upstairs to grab the DVD. Number three, I picked my nose and had nowhere to put it, so I put it back in my nose. Number four, I always heat things up in the microwave for times such as 1 minute and 11 seconds or 2 minutes and 22 seconds because I'm too lazy to move my finger to zero before hitting start. And then the last one, number five, my dishes were piling up in my dorm room and they were starting to smell, but I didn't feel like washing them yet, so I sprayed them with Febreze. And today we're talking about laziness. And it was actually funny because last night I was hanging out with a few of the other Cornerstoners and we were playing Taboo. And one of the words that came up was slacker. And it was this weird train of thought, but we basically said every single synonym for being lazy, like in the dictionary. We talked about like lackadaisical, we talked about sloth, laziness, and like all sorts of stuff, except for slacker. We didn't get slacker for like a few good minutes. And that was Faye. And if you were wondering, all the earthquakes in California are Sam Andreas's fault. Anybody? No, okay. Sorry, Faye, I love you. I just had to share that. It was pretty funny. If you didn't get that joke, ask your neighbor. Anyway, so today we're talking about laziness, and specifically laziness in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom literature of Solomon. And you might be asking yourself, like, why didn't we have scripture reading today? So the reason why we didn't have scripture reading is because we're doing things a little differently today, where we're looking at laziness throughout the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, so I'm going to put all the scripture on the screen, so hopefully you can follow along, because it'll be kind of hard to follow along in your Bibles, because we're going to be jumping around. I'll be touching on verses here and there, but they all have to do with laziness. So I'm trying to like compile all the things about laziness and diligence in Proverbs and kind of combining them to one so we can see it as a whole. And you know, whether we're students or we're working or whatever else you're doing, I think that one of the things that plagues us as humans is procrastination. Especially as students. I mean, I procrastinate all the time. And I'm hoping that as we learn a little bit about what Proverbs has to say about laziness, what Proverbs has to say about diligence, we can learn how to orient our lives to how we can live more godly lives, with godly goals, with godly influences. So before I go any further, let me pray for us. Lord, I pray that you anoint my lips, Lord, to be able to speak your word, that I'd be able to share the things that I have learned, Lord, with Cornerstone this morning. And we pray that we'd be able to challenge our laziness, Lord, because if we were left up to our own devices, Lord, we would never do anything, ever. And we pray that we'd be able to orient our lives towards godly things, Lord, that we can glorify you through our actions and through our spirits and through everything that we do in our lives, Lord. We give you praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's four kind of areas that I want to touch on today. So the first two have to do with laziness. So like, why are we lazy and what do we get when we're lazy? And then kind of the counter of diligence, like how do we be diligent and what do we get when we're diligent? So the first thing is, why exactly are we lazy? Scripture says, for a few different reasons why we're lazy. Proverbs 24:30-31 says, I passed by a field of a sluggard, which is basically like a lazy person, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and the stone wall was broken down. So one of the things that we see here is a lack of sense. And similarly, in Proverbs 26, 14 to 16, it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer sensibly. And what Solomon here is saying is that people who are lazy lack sense, but also they lack sense of how much they lack sense. And, you know, it says a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. And, okay, there's this college roommate I had. I won't say his name, but when I read about this sluggard, or like this lazy person, I think of my roommate. And he would probably agree, so like I'm not like bashing him or anything. I love him to death. But he used to like take these really easy classes, just like get easy A's. And he would do like bare minimum work. And somehow he would get like really good grades. And I remember this one instance where he had this paper due. It was like a research paper, and it was supposed to be 5 pages long, and it was for this class called Chinese Drama and Performing Arts. And, you know, it, like, he had to, like, do, like, reading and all that stuff for it. So I was like, you know, like, hey, have you started yet? Have you started yet? And he's like, no, I'll do it later. And then he knew that he can get away with it. Like, he thought he was smarter than everybody else in the class, right? And he didn't start until literally the morning of the day it was due. And I think it was due at, like, 2 o'clock or something like that. So he's, like, busy working in the morning. And then he ends up typing 4 pages, and his 5th page was just a giant picture. Just that took up the whole page. And I was like, dude, this is like really not very good. And he was like, it's okay, it's good enough. And then, you know, I questioned like, you know, what was the point of taking that class? What was the point of doing these exercises? Like, how were you being diligent in learning? You know, you're a student after all. And I hate to report this, but he ended up getting an A on that paper somehow, and he got an A for the class. And then another side note, I took that same class the next semester, and I had a different professor, and it was really hard. So, joke's on me. You know, at the end of the day, like, I asked, you know, my friend, I was like, I mean, I didn't actually ask him, but I questioned, like, were you fruitful? Did you spend your time wisely? Were you lazy, or were you diligent in your studies? Another reason why we are lazy is because of sleep, or rather the lack of sleep or being tired. And this is by far the greatest reason why Proverbs says that we're lazy. You know, after all, sleeping or sitting around doing nothing, that's like the definition of being lazy, right? So in Proverbs 10:5, Solomon says, "He who gathers in summer is a prudent son. But he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who brings shame." And similarly in Proverbs 24:33 and 34, it says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Now, if you know me, this hits me really hard because I really like sleeping. On average right now, I probably get at a very minimum 7 hours of sleep, but I can easily sleep maybe 9 to 10 hours, easy, if I had time. And in my defense, I took like this sleep study thing, and they like analyzed me and all that stuff, and they just said I needed more sleep. So that's my excuse. But I'm notorious for taking like a bajillion naps. I used to sleep like in high school. I used to take a 3 to 5 hour nap almost every single day, and I would sleep on like a normal night's sleep on top of that. Like, I don't think I ever slept after 11 o'clock. So I used to, like, come home from school, rush, do all my homework, or as much homework as I wanted to do, and I would just sleep for the rest of the day. And it was really bad. And there was one time in high school when I said I was going to, I was in college at this time, and I said I was going to take a half-hour nap, and then I started snoozing a lot. And, I'm a super snoozer. I snooze, like, all the time. So this one time, my roommate counted how many times I snoozed. He said I snoozed 17 times. So at the time, I think my alarm clock was a 9-minute snooze. So if you add it all up, that's about 2.5 hours of just snoozing. Plus a half hour nap, that's like 3 hour nap. You know, it was supposed to be 30 minutes. But, you know, that's how much I love sleep. So when I read this, I'm like, it's very convicting for me, right? But all that being said, I think when it comes to being lazy, really the big reason why we are lazy is because we are selfish. We think about, you know, when we have to do work, we don't want to do it because we're tired, because we want to do other things, because we want to play video games or, you know, do whatever makes us feel good. A lot of times hard work is something that we don't want to do. So laziness is rooted in selfishness. So what do we get when we're lazy? I won't spend a ton of time talking about this, but if I were to sum up what we get when we're lazy, I would sum it up in one word: lacking. In Proverbs 10:4, it says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent man makes rich." So here we see a lack of wealth. We see a lack of riches, or rather, people living in poverty. Proverbs 19:15 says, "Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." And here we see a lack of food, a lack of substance, and a lack of just basic necessities. So as laziness is rooted in selfishness, it results in lacking. And I want to touch on something here as well, because, you know, we talk about sleep, but then we're like, but sleep's not bad, right? And, you know, I struggle with this because it's like, how do you define, there's like a very fine line between being diligent in finding rest and being lazy in sleep, right? And I think the big difference between a lazy person and a diligent person when it comes to sleeping and finding rest is planning. Which brings us to the topic of diligence. How are we diligent? So this is really the first thing that I see in diligence is planning. In Proverbs 10:5, it says, "He who gathers in summer is a prudent son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." And see, we hear about this diligent worker who is working, you know, in the harvest, and then we see this lazy person who is basically sleeping through when the time when he's supposed to be working. And, you know, as Christians, I don't think we should be legalistic about Sabbath, but I think there's also a lot of value in finding time and planning to rest. Like Pastor Paul, Pastor Jeff, and actually all the other pastors, they have like Mondays off because they basically work weekends. And, you know, my weekends are usually really busy too with ministry, and I'm usually a student during the week. And it's really hard for me to find time to just kind of like take it easy. But I try to make Mondays like kind of a day where I keep my schedule free, where I don't have to worry about doing work or whatever. I mean, sometimes that works out, but it's hard when you're a student, when you have class the next day. But really, the point of it is that we plan. You know, a lot of times we don't plan on very well how much sleep we're going to get in one night. You know, a lot of times we stay up late knowing that we got to wake up early the next morning for work or for school. And we do that all the time, and we don't think that much of it. But if we plan better, you know, we don't have to worry about those things. And the second thing that really comes with diligence is good old hard work. Proverbs 12:11 says, "Whoever finds his land, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense." Now, nothing makes up for time and effort when it comes to getting something done. And Malcolm Gladwell once said that it takes about 10,000 hours for you to be an expert at something. And there's like a ton of debate as to whether that's like an accurate number or not. But I think everybody will agree that for you to do something and do it well, it takes time and takes effort, right? And, you know, for you to do it even above and beyond requires more so. So again, laziness is rooted in selfishness, but diligence is rooted in a goal. We have to strive towards something to achieve something, right? All right, now comes the time we've all been looking for. What do we get when we're diligent? I would say that we get a lot of dough. So, whether the first thing that comes to your mind is like bread or money, it doesn't really matter because Scripture says, you know, again and again, it talks about riches. It talks about bread. And, where am I? Okay. Yeah. And so when we are diligent, we are provided with things. You know, as laziness leads to lacking, diligence leads to fulfillment. You know, we're fulfilled with bread. We are fulfilled with food. But don't be fooled, because Scripture, wisdom literature, the Proverbs is not some kind of like self-help book. It's not some get-rich-quick scheme, right? And, you know, when we look at the words themselves, it sounds a lot like a self-help book. Like, you know, if you do this, you'll get that. If you serve God, you'll get food. You'll get money. You'll get riches. And I don't want us to think that that's how we should live our lives, because we don't want to get into what's called prosperity theology or prosperity gospel, where basically that's exactly what it is, where if you're a faithful servant, you're a faithful Christian, you serve God, you tithe to the church, all these different things, that you will be provided with lots of money, right? A lot of, a lot of churches say that, you know, you'll get a lot of money. You'll be literally rich in a worldly sense. But then I think about, and I think we need to think about, what are riches to God? What is food? What is money to God? These worldly things don't matter. You know, even Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he also tells us that we should lay up treasures in heaven. And I think we'd all agree it would be really awesome if, like, God does provide us with those things. And I'm not saying that God doesn't, but that's not what we should expect when we live diligently for God. Because we should expect him to give us spiritual blessings and spiritual nourishment in his word. So I talked about how diligence roots from a goal, right? But I think it's important for us to really think about exactly what goals are we seeking. Because a lot of times I think we can be very diligent towards things that God doesn't desire for us. You know, I think about when I was in school, I worked really hard. But for what? I worked really hard for myself to get good grades so I can get a good job so I can get a lot of money, right? And I think a lot of us think like that. And, you know, whether we're working, we're in school, or whatever, a lot of times we think on a selfish basis like that. And in that way, it's almost like we're being lazy towards God, even though we're busy doing stuff. And I even think, like, when I was putting this together, I was thinking about, criminals and, like, terrorists and how they are really diligent. I mean, I think about ISIS and all the stuff they're doing, and in their eyes, they're accomplishing a lot. And it's like they're working towards these false goals. They have these twisted gods and this twisted ideology. But at the end of the day, I think we would all agree that they are diligent. They're just diligent towards wrong things. In Proverbs 22:29, it says, "Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Now here I think Solomon is talking about diligent men and women working, serving God, our one and only God, and how they will stand before the king and not just man or other false gods. And I think that's what we should strive towards. We should strive towards pleasing the God that matters at the end of the day, in the day of judgment. I really like Brad Pitt. I don't know if there's any Brad Pitt fans in here. I just like basically most of his movies. But I think he's somebody that we would consider, most of us would probably consider him being someone who has almost everything. You know, he has fame, fortune, he has a beautiful wife, a family, you know, he's really good looking, at least in my opinion. And he's got like almost everything. But in an interview, he said, once you've got everything, then you're just left with yourself. Once you've got everything, then you're just left with yourself. And this was in an interview. It was quite a while ago, but he was interviewing for the Rolling Stones magazine. And he was talking about how he felt a lack of fulfillment despite, you know, all of his success, all the things he had. And I think in the same way, we have to focus our diligence. What are we living our lives for? Like, are we living our lives for worldly things? You know, if we strive just to get money, strive to just to get good grades or whatever, that's all we get at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, what does that stuff matter? In order to be diligent towards God, we need to have godly goals. We need to fulfill God's will and to store up treasures in heaven. And one of my favorite accounts in the Gospels, specifically, I'm thinking about the one in Mark, but the feeding of the 5,000. And I'll read the very beginning of this story just to give you a little bit of context if you're not familiar with it. This is Mark 6, starting at verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away to the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Now the rest of the passage, if you're familiar with it, after he's done teaching them, the disciples are like, "Oh, send them home because it's getting late." And he's like, "Oh, why don't we feed them?" So he feeds them with, I think it was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, which is, I mean, that is a miracle. And I don't want to downplay that at all. But I think what stands out to me is Jesus' attitude before that. Because when we look at the situation, Jesus and the disciples were tired. They were hungry. I mean, it said that they literally had no time to eat. And they were like, "Okay, let's just find some rest," you know, which we talked about before. But then what happens? You know, all these people show up. And in my opinion, if Jesus was like, "Yo, go away, I'm tired," I would have been like, "I think that's pretty reasonable." Like, if I was in that situation, I'd be like, "All right." But he was like, "No, I have compassion on these people. I want to minister to them." So he does that. And then I'm like, then send them home, right? I mean, feeding 5,000 people is a big deal. Like, if you were at the picnic yesterday, there was like maybe 100 people? And like, it took almost like 100 people to feed 100 people. It was like the amount of people that we needed to just feed, and like the amount of chickens that had to die was just like incredible, right? And it was a lot of work. And in that sense, I think it would have been like very reasonable for Jesus to be like, "Go home, like have fellowship at home, like do your own thing." I think that would have been really reasonable. And I don't think my image of Christ would have changed if he had asked that. But he doesn't do that. He goes, again, above and beyond. He is diligently working for God. He is diligently serving the people around him. He was storing up treasures in heaven. Jesus was diligent. And I think Jesus is the prime example for how we should live our lives. You know, I can't read Jesus' mind in this sense, but I assumed that Jesus felt great joy in serving the people. You know, I think when we think about the things that we love in our own lives, we have no problem putting in tons of work, tons of reading for the things that we love. And like, when I was in middle school, I loved studying. But I didn't study like textbooks. I didn't study the things I was supposed to be studying. Two things I studied hardcore was I loved cars. I still love cars. I used to read like every single car magazine possible. I used to like look forward to new cars coming out. I would want to know all their specs. I wanted to know like their base prices, like horsepower, all that stuff. Like even if I were to go out to the parking lot right now, I can probably look at every car for a split second, tell you the make, the model, and maybe even the year, just like by memory. And the other thing that I actually realized recently was I'm pretty knowledgeable about Star Wars, this came up like last week, and I like totally nerd-fested it at dinner this one time because we're talking about like just Star Wars stuff, and I started like spurting out all these like facts and like, oh yeah, like for those of you who know, like Admiral Akbar, he's called like his race is called the Mon Calamari, and they're like, how do you know that? And I'm like, how do you not know that? And I thought that was just like general knowledge, and then yeah, and then I realized I was like super nerd, and like that was just like all the hours I spent in middle school just reading up on Star Wars like mythology or whatever. But like those things I loved reading about it, I loved learning about it, and I would spend hours. I would like, and it was like nothing to me. I loved doing it, so I wanted to do more. And it's one of those things like, there's like 5 more minutes. Or like when you're reading a book really late at night, it's like 3 in the morning, but you're kind of near the end, and you're like, I can't stop here. I'm like, oh, read more. One more chapter. Oh, I can't stop here. And you just keep going because you love it. You love the story. You just keep going. And then it's like 6 in the morning. You're like, I guess I should just go to school now. Like, that was a great book, though. You know, and I think that's what Christ felt when it comes to serving. And you have to ask yourself, like, when it comes to following Christ, do I have that kind of passion? Do I have that kind of drive? Do I have that desire to non-stop serve God? Because at the end of the day, not only should we strive towards being fulfilled, having joy in serving God, but we owe it to Him as well. Because Christ died for us. He gave everything for us. And we owe Him everything. So, spending an extra few minutes praying, a few extra minutes reading your Bible, helping out a neighbor, that's the least that we can do for Christ. So how do we go about changing our lives? How do we change from being lazy to being diligent? The first thing is I think we need to really take a long, hard look at what we spend our time doing. I don't know if there's any Mumford & Sons fans in the room, but in their first album, they had this song called Awake My Soul. And one line in that song says, where you invest your love, you invest your life. If you love money, that's where you're going to invest your life. That's where you're going to invest your time. If you love your family, that's where you're going to invest your time. That's where you're going to invest your love. If you love serving God, if you love Christ for who He is and what He's done, you will invest your life serving Him. You will invest your life loving Him. And I think we have to think about what things in our lives can we, you know, spend less time doing. You know, maybe one less episode of Netflix and maybe an extra 20, 30 minutes reading your Bible or praying for your neighbors. And lastly, I think that we need to think about how we can pray. Pray more, because the only way that we can be diligent serving God is through His strength, because it's really hard. And I don't want to downplay like the martyrs who have died for Christ in the past, but I think it's harder to live for Christ than it is to die for Christ. It's harder to live for Christ than it is to die for Christ. Laziness roots from selfishness and results in lacking. But godly diligence roots from godly goals and results in godly fulfillment. If you set your eyes on God and you are diligently serving Him, living your life for Him, whether it is in this world or in the new creation, I guarantee you that God will indeed grant you with lots of dough. Let's pray. Lord, You put a heavy burden on us, Lord, as we are called to serve You. We are called to lay down our lives for You. And we know that we are broken vessels, that we are flawed people. But we pray that You give us the strength. We pray that You give us the diligence, Lord, the perseverance to continue to strive towards excellence, that we can please You, that we can be a blessing to You in our lives. And we pray that we be able to spur one another on, that we be able to lift each other up and encourage each other to do so, Lord. And we pray that we set aside our own selfish desires, Lord. May we seek your will, your desires for us, Lord. We thank you for everything you've done for us, and we pray that we be able to live our lives giving back what little we have. We pray that we invest our lives, we invest our love in you, Lord, and not in worldly things. We pray for strength. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.